morning. Siskiyou County Supervisors will come to order in open session. County Council, may we have a report out on closed?
Yes, we went to closed session at 8:33. We came out at 9:29. And there is no report of action.
We will stand for the flag salute. Sheriff LaRue, would you lead us?
Ready to begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Supervisor Cobbs.
Please join me in a moment of prayer. Father, we just praise you for this day, the opportunity to serve. We ask for wisdom and discernment for this board as make decisions this day. We lift up the county family and their families and ask for blessing and upon each of them, healing for those in need. We lift up the great state of California and the drought that we find ourselves in. We ask that you would provide the moisture that's needed throughout the state. And even in particular here in Siskiyou and Modoc and Klamath counties for the crisis that we face as well. And we ask these things in Christ's name.
Amen. Amen. Wendy, roll call.
Okay, Supervisor Chris.
President in person.
And Supervisor Cobbseth.
Here.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yep.
Supervisor Ogren.
Present.
And Supervisor Haupt.
Here.
And just to make a note, the board will be convening today as the Siskiyou County Flood Control and Water Conservation District and receives no additional compensation.
Okay. Before I look for a motion, I'm going to ask anyone online has a comment on consent agenda. Please press star 9 and raise your hand to be recognized at this time.
And this is for consent agenda only. Scene 2.
Okay.
Number 9474, you have a public comment on consent agenda.
Good morning. Comments limited to 3 minutes, please. Hello?
Phone number ending in 9474. Okay, we'll come back to that one. I've got Joey Russell. You have a comment on consent agenda?
This is consent agenda. We have a timer on 3 minutes, please.
Yes, my name's Joey Russell. Thank you for hearing me. I had sent the Board of Supervisors a couple of letters written by Steve Grissett. And I wanted to address those letters. I don't know if you would
have.
This is for consent agenda only. Please raise your hand again during public comment.
All right, I'm sorry. I didn't understand what consent agenda meant. I will raise my hand later.
Okay, thank you. Consent agenda only, please. Public comment will come later if there's anyone else for consent.
Jen, go ahead and unmute. Do you have a public comment on consent agenda?
I also am not here to talk on the consent agenda, sorry.
Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and ask you to lower your hand until public comment. Number 2885, public comment on consent agenda only, please.
My name is Paul Manassian. I apologize to you, but I can't tell from your agenda whether the proposed ordinances are part of the consent agenda or whether it be appropriate to comment upon them in public comment. I'd like to comment upon the ordinance.
Hold on. Just one moment.
Consent agenda is merely a number of things in front of us. The ordinances come later on in the agenda, and there'll be both public comment as well as comments invited during that discussion.
Thank you.
Through the chair.
Yes.
And if I could add, it sounds like he wants to speak on a specific ordinance, in which case he should speak when that ordinance comes up, not even during public comment.
Sure.
Just to clarify.
Thank you.
All right. Phone number ending in 9474. We're coming back to you. Do you have a comment on consent agenda?
Consent agenda items 5A through J.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and lower their hands.
Okay. Thank you. So I'm going to pull, looking for a motion, but I'm going to pull item A for discussion. Other wishes of the board?
If there's no other items to be pulled, move to approve the consent agenda 5B through J.
Second.
Motion and second, Lindy.
Okay. Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kobzeff?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Supervisor, excuse me, Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Thank you.
Item 5A, Ms. Nielsen.
Thank you, Chair Haupt. This is Elizabeth Nielsen, Project Coordinator. I just wanted to update the grant amount outlined in the agenda item. The group identified some opportunities to increase some of the treatment areas and to increase some of the grant admin costs. So the new grant application amount will be $4,996,452, which is an increase of $105,550,000. And again, the grant application is currently being reviewed by County Administration, Council, and the Auditor's Office before it would be submitted. So just wanted to provide that update.
Thank you. I'll make the motion to approve.
Second with those amendments, right?
Yeah.
Thank you. Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kobzeff?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Item 6, presentations from the public. The time slot is for information from the public. No action or discussion will be conducted on matters presented at this time. You're allowed 3 minutes for your presentation. I'd like to emphasize that we do have a timer on those that call into Zoom. The chair can extend the time to 5 minutes for appropriate circumstances, and I will let you know if that is the case. Written comments can be presented if so desired by providing a minimum of 7 copies to the clerk. When addressing the board, please state your name for the record prior to providing your comments. Please address the board as a whole through the chair, and comments should be limited to matters within the jurisdiction of this board. Those who wish to make a public comment, please raise your hand by pressing *9 on your cell phone.
And I don't have any blue cards.
Yeah.
I would advise that you educate the public that are on Zoom that they are to, if they have a public comment pertaining to a specific item within the agenda, that they can then wait until that item is heard, because we do have hands being raised, and I'm not sure if they understand that process.
Hi, this is Jennifer Dickinson, and yes, I do understand that process. I am commenting on a praise, and it has nothing to do with what's on the consent, on the agenda. I just want to thank the council, the Board of Supervisors, for making the amendment to the abatement ordinance in April. I appreciate all your efforts that you are doing to combat the illegal pot growers. And I just hope that you will be able to maintain great efforts in enforcing this by either hiring more personnel to do so. Thank you again, and that's all I have to say. I'm just so proud of you for amending the abatement ordinance. Thank you.
Thank you. Next caller.
Joey Russell, please go ahead and unmute.
Yes, I'd just like to thank the Board of Supervisors as well. First of all, following the same line as Jen did, for your efforts in addressing the illegal cannabis grows that we have up the road from us. And then I also want, I sent this letter to you by email last week. I don't know if you had a chance to read it, but it was written by the Grissett family, Stephen and Linda, regarding the hay and the cannabis cultivation and selling water. And I need to pay attention to the wording of this letter. And my questions are, and I think this is the questions that should be addressed by the board, is the 6 million gallon for hay a per season, per month, per day use of water? And then B, is the 300,000 gallon per day amounts sold off the property, is that over, that's over a day, a season, a month? If it were a day, then 3 million gallons would be in just 10 days. And so within a month, you're using more water than you are for a season of growing hay. And then to call attention to the fact that this is hay growing and cannabis cultivation, water sales off property in a single season. So they're doing it at the same time. And this is a letter that is actually written by an individual given to the community. And then another question I have with this particular letter, what does it mean by metering? If the electricity, we're all on electric meters. So I need to know whether the meter is reading gallons per minute, gallons per hour, or if the metering they're talking about in the letter is referring to an electrical bill. And my point is that you just have to be careful of the wording and do not be persuaded by misleading arguments. The community addressing the second letter, it was ever concerned about was the water pumping for illegal cannabis. And nobody, I believe, has any intention of not doing business with anybody. We have to look at the law and if what we're doing is within the law and not having some other nefarious reason. Anyway, that's all I have to say. Thank you again so much.
Thank you. Just a reminder to the public, I guess at this point, we don't either verify or validate or dispute input that's given to the board. We read it like the public does. Who's next?
Okay, number 9474, please go ahead and unmute and you'll need to press star. There you go.
Good morning, my name is Ginger Cimito, and I'd like the other two people that we're talking, thank the personnel of this county and recognize them for the forward-looking steps and a holistic approach for curtailing the criminal actions that is undermining and exploiting our resources and laws of this county. The next step is probably going to be the most difficult, the enforcement. But I want you to know that we, the community, have faith in this new sheriff and our county's ability to face this challenge, and we stand with you. We've stated numerous times that we've been focused on two elements of importance, water and law. The right to all the beneficiaries depended upon in this limited resource, and the common rules of fairness and safety we all live by in this nation. Neither one of them has a color, a race, or an ethnicity component, but are science-based or rules defined within our Constitution. We've seen this letter being distributed and posted that paints this community in a different light. We believe this letter is nothing less than race-baiting. It's offensive and in no way reflects the community of Big Springs. Again, we thank all of you at the county for stepping up to protect the two important items. Thank you and have a good day.
Thank you. Anyone else online?
Anyone else online? Go ahead and press star 9 to raise your hands. Seeing none online.
All right. I'd like to recognize retired Grace Batt, Supervisor Grace Bennett, who has a public comment.
Yes.
Welcome, Grace.
How are you guys?
Good to see you.
Good. Nice to see you, too. I have today one of an ongoing projects that I keep working on.
And about to retire.
Yeah, it's fun to be retired. And it's the nanocellular work that has been done over the past few years. And this is a Mike Gorgon from the U.S. Endowment did an online presentation, and I've taken parts of it and put it in the overview for you. And we had them come down, and they sent us some of the material. And I had never seen it other than just pictures. And this is the stuff that they sent us to put in the cement that we had the pour out of the baseball field. We poured a sidewalk along the first baseline and a slab for handicap parking. And that will finish out our permit that we had for the stands improvement out there. So if anybody wants to look at this, it kind of looks like starch that our mothers used to make. It's very interesting. But if you put it under a huge, one of the telescopic microscopes, you can see the particles in it. So I bought a jar, if anybody wants to look at it. And it's pretty exciting to move forward with this project. And they are still considering Waurika as a spot to put in a plant. And for you that aren't familiar, nanotechnology is a process where they take wood chips and they grind them very, very small. Then they add them to different materials, plastics and other things, and it makes it stronger and lighter. And the cement that was poured at the baseball field is 4 inches thick, and we didn't have to put any steel in it at all. And it's an experiment to see how it withstands in our climate. And like I say, the plant, they're still planning on putting a plant here in Waurika, and it will help with our cleanup in the forests and use wood chips for that. And it has, it can't use bark, so our bark plant will not be affected by this in any way. And it's just a dynamic new product that is coming forward. And they've used it to put on fruit. They had an experiment with pears, and they put it on one dish of pears had it and one dish didn't. And it's clear, and it's not hazardous. People can eat it because it's a natural product. And the pears, after 3 weeks, the pears that had the product on them were fresh and didn't look, they didn't have any rot or anything on them. And the ones that didn't have it, they were all spoiled. So it's kind of interesting, the things that they have experimented in putting them into, like the protectors for police officers.
Kevlar.
They put it in that, and they shot bullets at it, and it doesn't go through the bullets. They made sheets of it to go around tents for the military, and bullets do not go through it. So it protects in a lot of different ways. They could use it in bumpers for cars. The bumpers wouldn't break, and it would protect the cars better. They've said one of the new things that they put it in is plastic containers, and it will degrade much faster than ordinary plastic. It'll only take like 6 months, and those will be degraded back to normal because it is a biodegradable natural product. So anyway, I just wanted to bring this forward, let you know, and we're still moving forward. This was a virtual contact that we, online presentation that you made. And I'm still in contact with a lot of people that are involved in this, and we'll be putting up a sign at the baseball field for the to highlight them and to thank them for their help out there. So, just wanted to let you know. Thank you. Thank you all for doing all this good work that you do.
Thank you, Grace, for your vigilance on this. I appreciate it.
Yeah. It's always fun to have a just good project.
The warrior behind the scenes on this still.
Like 10 years-ish before we got to this
it's
point?
Been something like that. Ray and I first saw this at a Forest Service meeting that we went to.
So, long time ago.
Yeah, a long time ago. Yeah. But it's something that is exciting, and if we can keep it moving forward, it's something that will be good for our county.
Yeah.
And the Moffat Creek Bridge was poured in Oregon and then brought down, so, and it was installed over on Moffat Creek a few years ago. So it's a neat thing.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
All right, I'm going to move on to item 7A, Six Rivers National Forest. And is this a Zoom call, I assume? Because I don't see anybody here.
I have, it says virtual on the worksheet. I have 7814 as the number on the worksheet here.
Need them to raise their hand. If you're from the Six Rivers National Forest, for this next topic on the Capitol Christmas tree, could you raise your hand so we can find you?
You can raise your hand by pressing star 9.
I do see on the worksheet the time requested was 15 minutes between 9 and 9:30. We got one?
I asked them.
I see you, Ted. I see you over there.
Hey. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Fantastic.
Good morning.
Okay, are you ready for me to kick off?
I am. So, Ted MacArthur, you're the forest supervisor on the Six River National Forest.
That is correct, and board members, I really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you today. I'm not sure if I can share my screen, so I'll probably just talk through this with you. We feel very fortunate. The Six Rivers National Forest was selected to provide the Christmas tree for the Capitol in 2021, so we will be delivering a beautiful 85-foot tree from our corner of the world come late October, early November. And what we're really trying to do is reach out and find out how, Siskiyou County would like to participate in this effort. We do have a small corner of the county that we administer on behalf of the Klamath. But I think more of the opportunities we have are how can we highlight this part of the world, what's unique about northwestern California, and what are some things that you as the board would like us to do in this kind of lead up and delivery of the Capitol Christmas tree. Just a little bit of a background. What we're doing is providing one large tree for the Capitol, and then about 100, 150 companion trees that will go for the congressional delegates that represent California, as well as some of the executive offices. And what we're tasked to do is provide the trees, provide ornaments for the trees. It's gonna be about 10,000 ornaments for all the trees, tree skirts, and deliver those to DC in early November, and then there'll be a few events there as well, but we're also hosting events here in the local communities to just highlight what we're doing, get people to build, make ornaments for the trees for display, and as well as the tree skirts. And I see this as a really interesting way to, again, highlight both the Six Rivers National Forest and, you know, Siskiyou, Humboldt, Trinity Counties, and Del Norte County as well, and what's important to us as a community out here and how we represent ourselves and what we send back with these trees that can kind of showcase, again, what's unique about our part of the world. And that's really it in a nutshell. I just want to take a minute and introduce this concept to you and invite your participation and ask how you'd like us to kind of work and coordinate with you to do some of these events that lead up to the tree delivery and maybe host some events in the communities in Siskiyou County.
Well, off the top of my head, I don't know how to respond yet, we welcome the invitation, but I have to ask this question. Have you located the tree yet?
No. So that's a great question. We're identifying candidate trees. The architect of the Capitol will actually select the tree and the backup trees. And we're finding candidate trees in all the districts on the forest and the different veg types. The main thing is getting an 85-foot tree intact out of the woods. It limits where we can pull a tree from. So that's also part of the consideration. But we're in the process of finding good specimens. And then when the architect comes out in mid-July, we'll pick the tree and do some work to make sure that it stays healthy and well so that we can deliver it.
Understand. Six Rivers doesn't have a lot of McLeod flatland.
Absolutely.
Not to work with. It should be easy to lay one into the slope, but the distance between the tree and the slope is a lot less than in a lot of places in the world. Ted, you know, I'm going to turn this over to any questions to the board, but from my perspective, we'll figure out how to engage you on this.
I appreciate that. I wasn't looking for answers today. I just wanted to make sure it was you were aware of it and that we'll be reaching out some more and seeing what you'd like to see out in the county.
Okay. Any questions from the board?
If he has some info that he wanted to share, if he could send it by email.
That would be good. So if you have information you'd like to share with us, could you send that to Angela Davis, our County Administrative Officer, and she can educate the board on that?
Yes, I have a briefing paper, and I apologize. I'm having issues. I can't bring it up to share it with you. I was going to share it with you today, but I'll submit that to the board through Angela, so you can have all the relevant information.
Okay, and we'll put that over to the clerk's office too, so it's part of the record.
Fantastic.
Thank you, Ted.
You bet, and hopefully one of these days can come visit in person and give another update. Any other issues you may be interested in on the Six Rivers. It's been a while. I apologize it's taken me so long to check in, and I look forward to engaging with the board on a variety of other topics as well.
Just let us know. Our board meetings are open again.
Okay, fantastic.
Okay. Any break or are we going on?
Good.
Okay. We'll move on to item 8A, Health and Human Services COVID-19 update.
Good morning, Chairman Haupt, members of the board, Angela Davis, County Administrator. Shelley Davis is handling a urgent matter this morning, so I am in her seat this morning to give you the COVID and vaccination update. Currently, we have 2,119 confirmed COVID cases within the county. Currently, we have 94 that are active, 2,004 that have recovered,
We have 12 currently that are hospitalized, and we have 21 reported deaths for the county. Now, with regards to the vaccination information, currently we have approximately 6,554 doses of the vaccination ready to be dispersed to the public. We have currently issued 24,776 doses to the public, which equates to approximately 24.5% of our total population that has been fully vaccinated. We also have 32% of the population that has currently received their first dose, and so they're not, as obvious, not fully vaccinated. So now when you compare that information with the state, with California, California is reporting 40.4% of the residents of California as fully vaccinated, and 19.4% with people that are partially vaccinated. So I just want to encourage anyone who is interested or is seeking information about vaccinations, please visit the public health website. It has all of the up-to-date vaccination clinics that are being scheduled, as well as a listing of all the locations of where you may go and receive a vaccination. Also, I wanted to share with you the flu and influenza information. So currently for Siskiyou County, we have zero positive cases of influenza that have been reported. We've had 2,392 tests that were given. So out of that, again, no positive results. And Siskiyou County has administered 667 flu vaccines thus far for the public. I would like to note that public health did stop administering the flu vaccinations in November due to COVID and the COVID vaccination focus. Also, when you compare that to the state, you can find this information on the California Department of Public Health website, influenza. They have reported thus far 50 deaths from influenza-related deaths and 0.1% that are flu positive for the state of California. So, with that, if you have any questions, I'll be more than happy to answer them.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
So, as you well know, that if you're following the COVID in Siskiyou County, the cases have been spiking here recently. We got a one-week reprieve on moving back into the red tier, to the purple tier. Dr. Gawley, I just had a conversation with him. He called me last night. He's obviously concerned not only with Siskiyou County. Humboldt County has an issue. Delaware County's got an issue. You know, just want to reiterate, the vaccine is available out there for those that want to get that vaccine. And I can't stress that enough. If you want the vaccine, please go get the vaccine. Our numbers from a vaccination rate are below average, if you will. You look at LA County, that's moving into the yellow. I mean, all these other places, because they really have stressed getting the vaccine. I conveyed to Dr. Gawley that, you know, we probably need additional help. Think about remote vaccination clinics. Instead, you know, we're having a clinic in Thursday, if I recall, in Mount Shasta. So, you know, again, the public, you know, get online, schedule it. Our providers have access to the vaccines. You know, the only way that we're going to prevent going back the other way is to, for those that want it, to get the vaccination rate, continue to wear the mask and do the social distancing. Dr. Gawley can't stress how important it is, because the state of California does not want to move us back. Having said that, I'm not sure what one week's going to buy us, but now is as good a time as any to let people know that vaccines are the critical piece to the equation. Students are going to be able to get it within a week. I think they're going to open up for the high school kids, for those that want to get it. So with that, I'll turn it back over to any other questions.
Your number on how many have been vaccinated in Siskiyou? 24%? But yet,
yes.
I think I heard 24,000.
Yeah, that doesn't equate this.
I think it's closer to 50% or better.
We have 24,776 doses have been administered. Now remember, those are two doses.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Correct.
That's okay, because I'm
yes.
just going by population.
Yes.
All right, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
And that is why we have the 24.5%.
Thank you.
Correct.
That helps.
Total fully vaccinated.
Got it. Thanks.
Okay.
That's all.
That's it.
Thank you.
All right. Items A, B, C, D, E, and F. I know a lot of people are waiting on that. I'm going to jump down to item G. and take care of that one first. We're likely to spend a lot of time on the other items.
Which is G?
Item G is...
your item.
Is that mine? All right.
That's yours, County Clerk.
All right.
And I do have one public comment for that.
Yes.
And I think I'll take that right now. It's, I'm sorry, I'm going to put her the name. Lisa Saras? Saras?
Saras.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Hi. Thank you, Board, for listening to my comment. Thank you for allowing me to be here. I'm Lisa Sirwa, and I'm here to comment on the Sirwa Use Permit 1816 appeal, for which I'm believing that the hearing date will be decided today. If it is at all possible, we would like to request the appeal date to be set no sooner than July 6th. Or later, to give us some time to formalize our road maintenance agreement with the U.S. Forest Service, which requires an annual road inspection. Since our initial filing in 2018, so it's been a bit of time, there has been a turnover in the U.S. Forest Service agency. The former Klamath National Forest Roads Manager, Lori Jackson, who has been to the site and she inspected the roads and negotiated our roads permit. She passed away last year. Our hearts go out to her family. So due to the high elevation in 2021, the project site and roads are covered in snow, typically from late October to early June, well, from last year to this year. And we expect to be able to get to the project site sometime in June. At that time, we can invite the new roads manager for the annual road inspection prior to our appeal. And so I emailed you guys, and Nancy attached our letters from the U.S. Forest Service and CAL FIRE regarding the road use at site occupancy limits and a screenshot of the current snow conditions. Thank you for your consideration, and I appreciate your time. Thank you.
I give a quick overview. Just
sure.
Basically what Mr. Sirwa said, there was a planning commission, an appeal of planning commission action filed with the county clerk's office, and it is based on a decision for the Sirwa UP 1816 use permit, and it sounds like the planning commission, it was a denial. Okay, so this is basically just to set a date for the hearing. This is really not considering the actual appeal. It's just to set the date.
I don't.
And Mr. Skierski is here as well, if there's
any
questions.
I had a question. So regarding the Forest Service road permit, was that ever decided or rejected or what?
It was included as a condition of approval if the use permit was granted.
But did the Forest Service act on it is what I'm asking?
So the verification that the Forest Service has approved that use permit would have been required before the use permit was issued, should have it been granted. So generally we require verification or documentation that the conditions have been approved. So we require submittal proof that projects have complied with CAL FIRE, with Fish and Game, if they have any conditions. Those are generally worked in through the project as conditions of approval.
How long are we looking at? Is this a full day, half day, roughly?
I heard at the time the appeal was filed, possibly 30 minutes to an hour just for the appellant side of the side of the appeal.
It will be a considerable amount of time. I believe we've averaged about 10 public comments per hearing. This has been heard twice in front of the Planning Commission. And the applicant, or the appellant, my mistake, has identified that she would like additional time for presentations.
And our regular board schedule for
regular
July.
For July are 6 and 13, the first two Tuesdays. And then the August would be the same. It's the first two Tuesdays, August 3rd and August 10th. And this is going to be a public hearing, so the clerk would need time to, you know, do the public hearing notification, that type of thing. So I do have down the June meetings would be 6-1 and 6-15, but those would be coming up pretty quick, so we'd have to get the publication started right away.
And I think for either the request was after July?
July 6th or later.
Or after that?
How do you want to go about this? You want to throw in that dates, or what are we doing here?
You know, it's far enough in advance for me. I would prefer it to be a regularly scheduled board meeting, to be honest with you. You know, our meetings generally in the summer are fairly light. I don't know if it's possible, but that would be my preference. And if not, definitely a Tuesday, because that's what I normally schedule for.
Yeah. Well, and Tuesdays are our day here in this room. I do want to remind the board that typically July would be one of the... Tuesdays in July would be also air pollution control district. Mm-hmm. There's just a meeting once every quarter, so July typically is one of those months.
I would agree with the Supervisor Valenzuela that Tuesday in July.
Shoot for the 13th.
So a regular meeting?
A regular meeting or a Tuesday.
Or a Tuesday in July, okay.
A regular meeting or a Tuesday.
I don't want to really encumber the rest of the month. That's usually when the board takes a vacation.
Yeah, absolutely. The 13th would
time
be
off. The 13th would be good with me.
The afternoon is the 13th. So that we get regular business done in the morning?
Personally, I think that most of the business could be consent or whatever. I'm guessing fairly light, but, you know, just guessing.
We're beyond budget, so we wouldn't have budget issues. We'd be past that.
Afternoon, the 13th.
July 13th, afternoon.
1:00.
I would actually say the morning because it runs late, and then you can do the business piece in the afternoon.
Like our other public hearings where we do as 9 a.m. or as soon thereafter, we could do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
You'd like to say the business after.
Well, because if you have business and we're done at 10 o'clock, then you're killing time.
Yeah. Correct. Can be heard. Okay.
Thank you.
So, we want to do that as consensus or as a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. And I have July 3rd afternoon, but we're 13th. Going to
13th.
July. What did I say? July 13th. 9 a.m. or as soon thereafter as can be heard. Supervisor Cobseft and Supervisor Haupt.
Correct.
Okay. Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Cobseft.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Haupt.
Aye.
Thank you.
Probably got to take a break, don't we?
Yes, if we could just take a couple minutes, that would be great.
Okay. 6-5.